today on The Travel Guide.
In the news, Southwest's incredible shrinking seats are coming to an airport near you.
U.S. Airways inches closer to acquiring American Airlines.
Mark has an update on a forgotten town in the Midwest. He says there are reasons to go there.
The U.S. Olympic gymnastic trials are coming to San Jose. Tom has an interview with an Olympic legend.
And again, we have a chance for you to win a trip to Hawaii or New York City if you can guess today's mystery spot.
All that and more today on The Travel Guide.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the roof, 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Here at the very beginning of a brand new month, I'm Tom Romano. What is this, April Fool's Day, Mark?
It is April Fool's Day, but this is actually Tom and Mark.
Yes, it is. What did I say?
No, you didn't say anything. I just thought I would identify the fact that if folks were listening here on April Fool's Day, expecting something very dramatic and catchy and touchy or overwhelming from us, maybe next year.
And foolish? Well, they always get a lot of that on the...
We got that covered.
Yeah. Welcome to the travel show. As you could probably tell, Tom is in studio, and Mark is somewhere else. Mark, where are you?
Mark is out on the Santa Fe Trail, getting ready for another sports leisure adventure somewhere in the future, so I thought this would be... We've done a lot of classic old highways. We're getting ready to do the National Road, so the Santa Fe Trail seemed to fit right onto that list.
Boy, I feel like a song coming on, but I'll restrain. Okay, welcome to the program, and as we always do at the beginning of our show, we bring you up to date on all the stuff that's been going on in the news and things behind the scenes that you probably don't hear on your regular news on this or any other radio station. With that being said, fire up the music, Brandon. Bring on Mark Hoffman, ladies and gentlemen, with today's travel news.
Thank you, Mr. Romano.
By way of the phone.
Just a reminder to all you folks out there, keep listening because that mystery spot contest, your first clue, is coming up at the end of the news. Southwest seats are shrinking, but the new plane sort of bucks the trend. Southwest is adding its first 737-800 to its fleet, a larger aircraft that carries 30% more passengers than its current plane. The new Boeing aircraft has Southwest's latest interior, which is called Evolve.
Mm-hmm.
However, as we previously reported, Tom, the thing that evolves here is the evolution is less legroom for customers. Although, Southwest is quick to point out that on these 800 series planes, the legroom is actually staying at 32 inches, which is Southwest's current legroom. However, two things are happening. There are more seats onto the airplane. The seats are going to be thinner. They're going to recline less. And on all of the older planes, indeed, the legroom is going down from 32 to 33 inches between seats down to 31. And you might think, well, what's 1 or 2 inches? Ask your nearest 6-foot tall friend what's 1 or 2 inches on an airplane, and I'm sure he will, or she will be more than happy to explain it to you.
You know, Mark, let me just chime in. I for the airlines that makes wider seats, they're going to get the business. I think that sooner or later somebody's going to figure it out that, you know, maybe not necessarily as much leg room, but a little wider based on trends.
God, I have to tell you something, Tom. Traveling around the country, just as an overall observation, people are not getting smaller, not in any region of the country. And you're right, cramming people into those seats, and it's the guy who gets stuck with the overflow in the seat next to him that concerns me so much. Evolve also features, their new interior features more overhead bin space, which is kind of an emerging trend in the industry,
mm-hmm.
Plus Wi-Fi on every plane, which will cost $5. Expect to see more people on these new planes. The 800 holds as many as 175 people. Current Southwest planes only hold between 122 and 137. The new planes are going to start appearing in the sky on April 11th. How is this going to affect you? Well, it's going to allow Southwest to do these new 737s are designed for more long-haul flights. So you are going to see more cross-country trips. I don't know how that's going to affect Sacramento. Our economy's been rather soft, and our air market has been rather soft. But at some point in time, Sacramento is going to see a Florida nonstop, something like maybe to Orlando or something like that. So that might be a possibility in this whole Southwest thing. But nonetheless, the overall bottom line is you're going to get a little less room on Southwest flights than you used to.
And no extra room for your bottom.
Southwest says that's exactly right. It will help keep the fares low.
Okay.
As we reported last week, U.S. Airways is very much in the mood to try to buy American Airlines. U.S. Airways executives are approaching American Airlines creditors with acquisition offers, according to various trade reports. This move is an end run around America's current managers, who say they don't want to talk merger or acquisition until they complete their current bankruptcy process. But U.S. Airways is in a position to press for a quick deal, and creditors may be receptive. Meanwhile, the holding company for British Airways would like to acquire American to prevent it from falling into unfavorable hands. American and British Airways have an important partnership. British Airways doesn't want to see that jeopardized. Of course, U.S. law limits foreign control of any domestic airline to 25% of ownership, something that Virgin America has had to do. We'll keep an eye on this. This is something that's likely to happen here, I would say, more sooner than later. As our good friend Ed Perkins has reported, American Airlines will survive any merger or acquisition as a brand name, I'm sure, along with its frequent flyer miles and such. You don't need to be concerned about that. What you do need to be concerned about, in my humble opinion, is that U.S. Airways, which is really not my preferred airline, may be taking over American, and so their influence may be wider than it has been previously.
All right.
JetBlue, remember, Tom, that JetBlue pilot that took off down the aisle?
Oh, I think everybody has heard about that. What do you know about that?
Well, this guy, Clayton Osborne, who was a 49-year-old JetBlue captain who had that mid-air meltdown on Tuesday as he was headed for Las Vegas from New York City, some little bit more information here. NBC News is sharing that Osborne arrived late to JFK. He missed the crew briefing before the flight. And as the flight took off, he mentioned being evaluated by someone to the first officer, talked about church and needing to focus. He asked the first officer to take the controls as he made some incoherent comments about religion and then said things just don't matter. He yelled at air traffic controllers to be quiet and admonished the first officer for talking on the radio. And then he said, we need to take a leap of faith. And he spoke of sins in Las Vegas and said, we're not going to Vegas. Then he left the cockpit and briefly occupied a laboratory and then became irate when he was locked out of the cockpit. The interesting thing here is that the co-pilot, Jason Dowd, who was the co-pilot of Flight 191, he is the guy who, when the pilot started exhibiting this behavior, suggested to him that maybe it would be better if he got up and took a walk or something. They had an off-duty JetBlue captain on board the plane. As soon as the captain got up, the real captain got up, the co-pilot had a flight attendant get the other pilot into the cockpit. They locked the door, which wouldn't let that gentleman back in after he was done ranting. And then the co-pilot got on the PA system and asked people on board to restrain his own co-worker. And fortunately, they had a lot of security people on board who were flying to a security conference. What are the chances of that?
I'll tell you, this was quick thinking on the part of the right people, so we can be thankful of that.
And, you know, I would say, Tom, instead of folks being, obviously you'd be concerned that this happened. People flip out occasionally. They lose it for various reasons. But I would just suggest to you that the underlying story here is the fact that the co-pilot reacted so professionally and so well, he eliminated any possibility of there being a disaster. And, I mean, this is a one-off kind of unusual event. But it's the kind of things that people are trained for. And as our good buddy Henry, who's a pilot at Virgin America, tells us, these are the kinds of things that you want to make sure that you're ready for.
There you go. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Moving on down the list here, we've got, if you're traveling with your kids these days, for the second time in 2 weeks, a plane had to put down in order to put off a family. This happened on a flight from Long Beach. The family was headed to Vancouver. The plane was scheduled to make a stop in Portland, and it was an Alaska Airlines flight, and according to a Port of Portland spokesperson, the pilot radioed ahead to have police waiting at the gate in Portland to remove the family from the plane because one of the small children, about 5 years of age, would not stay in the seat and would not behave themselves on the aircraft. So
what? Children not behaving on an airplane?
Yeah.
Is this a first?
Yeah. It's bad enough that adults don't behave on an airplane, but
That's the, you know, that's kind of surprising because there's got to be multiple flights where kids become a little unruly, and between the stewardess and the parents, they usually get them in line rather than having to land and discharge them from the plane. They must have been out of control.
I would have to say if the pilot called the, can you imagine? Also, Tom, consider the fact that it takes about 2 hours to fly from Long Beach to Portland. So if this child was a pain all the way to Portland, I would suggest to you those folks, that was probably a long 2 hours. Hey, listen, before we close off the news here, two things to mention. One is our old friend Lori Dishman. Lori was a lady who had an incident on when she was a victim on a cruise ship of a sexual assault, got Congresswoman Matsui involved, and it led to some legislation that has that protects all people traveling on cruise ships. Her group is having a fundraising event on Saturday, April the 28th. We're going to invite Lori on next week's program to tell folks about it because it's in El Dorado Hills and it's something I think that you might, that some of our listeners might enjoy attending. In the meantime, if you are interested in a benefit for the victims, for folks who have been victims on cruise ships, Lori's telephone number is 916-769-3444 and we'll put that up on the Travel Guys radio website, along with links to anything else of importance today. And we are about ready, sir, for our first mystery spot clue.
Ta-da! There you go. There's the news. You are listening to the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and as Mark mentioned, it is mystery spot contest time. We qualified someone last week, and it's time to qualify someone this week for the final showdown, the travel trivia trivia-off, if you will. And Mark, are you ready to give us today's clue?
I am, and a couple of important things to remind our listeners.
Yes.
The only way you are eligible for the grand prize, you must register at TravelGuysRadio.com. There's two ways to do it. You can either register your email address or you can like us on Facebook. Then, if you go to Facebook before the show each week, you will get a bonus clue, so you'll have a head start on everybody before the program starts. If you register your email with us, we will send you that bonus clue. So, again, that's a way to be a little bit ahead of things. We're not going to send you any other advertisements or anything else. We're just curious how many people are listening. So if you wish to win the grand prize, everybody is eligible for the weekly prizes, which this week is a $100 gift certificate from Ruth Chris Steakhouse. So
very
you
nice.
Would have, I don't know if $100 will buy dinner for two at Ruth Chris, but it'll certainly get you a heck of a start.
It sure will. And once again, folks, qualifying for an opportunity to win a chance to either New York City or Hawaii, 5 days, right, Mark?
5 nights and airfare for two people. We've already given a clue to our registered listeners, so we're not going to repeat that one to you. But here is the first clue. Coming to see me would be a capital idea. Coming to see me would be a capital idea. Don't call now. Wait until later in the show. We're going to have some other clues for you. We will tell you when to call or when to email your guest to TravelGuysRadio.com. And when that happens, you will have your opportunity to make your guess, and perhaps you'll be headed for Hawaii or New York.
More to come right here on the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Keep it right here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. Hello there, and welcome to the Travel and Entertainment Guys. I'm Tom Romano, along with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations, who is on the road to the Santa Fe Trail. That's why he sounds like he's on a phone, because he is. Mark, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Thomas. How are things with the Romano family? We've got, and you know, we've got Erin is getting, our news gal is going to be getting hitched here just in a matter of weeks. You've got two weddings on the books.
Just under 2 months for both Erin and Amanda, my daughter. Erin on the 26th of May and mine on the 27th. As we speak, Mark, and I, you know, because you helped me arrange flights, both my daughters are in Disneyland with their bridesmaids because they have shared bridesmaids, as you might think sisters might, similar friends, and they are bachelorette partying in, of all places, Disneyland. Is that cool or what?
That is awesome. That is a little more exciting place. Perhaps to some than where I am out on the Santa Fe Trail.
Well, before we head off to the Santa Fe Trail and talk about some of the things that you've run across, you want to go ahead and bring people, give them the mystery spot clue one more time.
Yeah, let's do that, and let's add another one. Of course, reminding folks that in order to be eligible for the grand prize, you have to be registered either at our Facebook page or at TravelGuysRadio.com. You can do either one of those. It just takes you a second. And the bonus there is that you get a clue each week of the contest. You'll either get a clue by email or you'll be able to access our Facebook page and see the clue before the contest starts each day. So all those folks have gotten a clue, a secret clue. We gave one clue earlier. Coming to see me would be a capital idea.
Clue number one.
Clue number one. Clue number two. Be sure to allow more than one day to visit me. Otherwise, you could end up missing those beautiful gowns. Be sure to allow more than one day to visit me, because otherwise you could end up missing those beautiful gowns. Now, if you think you know the mystery spot, do not call now or email your guests in now, because we're going to, after the news at the bottom of the hour, and Tom has an interview with an Olympic legend to talk with, and then we are going to take your calls, and you'll have your opportunity to not only win that $100 Ruth Chris gift card, but also to qualify to go to Hawaii or New York City.
Your choice. All right. Mark, as we mentioned, is on the phone and on the Santa Fe Trail. Tell me where you are and what's going on.
Well, we've made it into New Mexico here after several days of journeying. A good part of the Santa Fe Trail comes across Kansas. It started in Missouri and passed through what at the time was called Westport, is now perhaps a little bit better known to people as Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
And then made its way all the way across Kansas. There were and then there was a high mountain route into Colorado and New Mexico, and a low grasslands route through Kansas and also on into New Mexico, ultimately, of course, ending at Santa Fe. But I thought, Tom, a couple of observations just from being out here that folks might be interested in, especially if somebody listening just happened to be traveling to this one Midwestern city.
Okay.
And I thought I would talk just a little bit about a town that we located that was not actually on the Santa Fe Trail. We diverted just a little bit to be able to visit a couple friends and check out this particular city. And the city I'm talking about is Wichita. Now, most people would think of Wichita and they would think, gee, you know, that's probably a big cattle town.
Sure.
You know, it's in southern Kansas, very near Oklahoma, Texas. In fact, the main street of Wichita shows that certainly cattle have run down it from time to time, because it's about as wide as the streets in Salt Lake City. It's amazingly large street. But the downtown Wichita has really come into some hard times. Boeing is leaving Wichita after several generations, taking a couple thousand jobs with them. And the town has really come across some hard times, but they have done an amazing job of cleaning up the city. And while a lot of the storefronts are still empty, things are clean. You feel safe there. We had spent a lovely night at a Drury Inn, which is a Midwestern chain that would be somewhat comparable to Best Western, except I think a little bit better in quality. And Drury has taken to building hotels in old, restored buildings in Midwestern cities. And that's exactly what they've done in Wichita. They've attached an amazing restaurant next to it called Avi, which is just the best Kansas City strip steak that you'll ever eat in your whole life.
Oh, I bet you that's one of the really, really sweet things about Wichita and Kansas is the beef and the fine restaurants.
Yeah, if you're looking for barbecue mm-hmm. actually is more of a Texas Oklahoma thing. You get up into Kansas, they just throw it on the grill. They don't want to mess it up, you know, with all of that sauce and stuff. We
right.
back on the Santa Fe Trail, Dodge City, a place that some folks will remember from
Gunsmoke.
Its legend in
sure.
Western history. Of course, there's a it's kind of touristy now, but one of the right off the main street is a street in Dodge City called Gunsmoke Street.
Well, you would expect it, you know. And I think sometimes I know me, I do anyway. I kind of like a little touristy. I don't want to go to Dodge City and it look like every other city and not have something sort of touristy to
I think
enjoy.
So. It's kind of a family destination. So if you ever get to central Kansas, it's not too far from Wichita. And it certainly is worthy of a day. And there is a lot of history there. And we stayed in a beautiful brand new Hampton Inn that has just opened a couple of weeks ago. So the economy, you know, unemployment here in the middle part of the country is considerably lower than it is on the two coasts. So things are humming along here a little better than they are in our neck of the woods. This old trail, which of course dates back to the early 1820s, people migrating across the country, and you can still, Tom, see in many places, you can still see some of the old ruts. I mean, obviously it's been, coming on 200 years, 170,
yeah, the old wagon ruts.
Yeah, and these wagons, people, when you watch wagon trains in movies and stuff,
uh-huh.
oftentimes they're in a single file line. that's, I've come to find out, that's not the way wagons generally traveled.
Really?
They generally traveled three or four across, especially when they were crossing the plains, and the ground was flat because it was a lot easier to circle the wagons if something unexpected happened from that four abreast situation than it would be if they were all in a long line and perhaps scattered down the road. So when you go out and you look at the Santa Fe Trail and you're looking for these wagon ruts, oftentimes you're not looking for a pair of ruts, you're looking for three or four pairs of ruts.
Interesting. Wow.
They're overgrown by grass now, and yep. You know, you're standing on the top of a hill and you're looking out and you're saying, look, the grass is a different color there and a different color there, and it's a little bit lower there and a little bit lower there. That's the Santa Fe Trail. Of course, there are some guide markers and stuff to give you a little bit of assistance. But one last place I want to mention. We found a place in Kansas, just outside of a small town there, and it was originally called Amache. It's, and I hope I'm getting the pronunciation right. Amache, perhaps. It's an internment camp in Kansas during World War II. Japanese Americans were brought there. The interesting thing about this particular camp is the people who came here were brought from Merced and from another area in Southern California. So it's entirely possible that some folks from Northern California were interned in this camp or knew people who were.
Amazing. All the way to Kansas.
Yeah, and there are forts of all shapes and sizes. Some of them don't have walls because they found that the Indians and Native Americans were more likely to attack small groups of people as opposed to large groups. So even if the fort didn't have walls, if it appeared that there were a bunch of outbuildings and a lot of people there, they were generally pretty safe. But it's very interesting if you're an old boy, as a little boy you like to play fort, you know?
Yeah.
You've died and gone to heaven when you come to Kansas.
So we know that Sports Leisure Vacation goes the Lincoln Highway. They do Route 66. When can we expect a Santa Fe Trail trip?
I would say probably, we're looking at probably next spring, I think, would be a nice time. Spring is a nice time to visit this part of the country. And, of course, at the end of the trail, you've got Santa Fe, which is one of the great cities in all of North America for both culture and the arts and just wonderful things to see and do. So, Thomas, I think we're getting coming up on the news here pretty quickly, and shall we go over our mystery spot clues one more time?
Well, let's do this. Let's save that to the backside right after the news as the Sports Leisure Travel Trail takes a twist, and we get a hold of Aaron and do some news right here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. Don't you go away. Thanks for sticking around. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. Tom Romano here. Mark Hoffman on the Santa Fe Trail. Coming up in just a moment, an interview with the Olympic star Peter Vittmar. You might remember him from the team that won the gold back in 1985. But before we get to that, let's jump to Mark online and bring you up to date on our clues for our mystery spot contest. Mark?
All right. We are only about 10 minutes away from taking your guesses. Remember, today's prize is a $100 Ruth Chris gift card for dinner, and then you are eligible for the finals to have an opportunity to win a trip to Hawaii or New York City. Clues we have already given. Coming to see me would be a capital idea. Number two, be sure to allow more than one day to visit me because otherwise you could miss those beautiful gowns. Clue number three, buildings, we are all buildings, preserving nearly 400 years of American history. Don't call yet. After Tom's great Olympian interview here, we will give you the signal, and you'll have a chance to call or email in your guest.
We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. And as you've heard Mark talk about on a number of occasions about taking a group to San Jose for what will be the U.S. Olympic Trials, June 28th through July the 1st of this year at the HB Pavilion at San Jose. And I am lucky enough, fortunate enough, blessed enough to have one of the all-time great gymnasts with me on the line, and that is a name I know you're going to recognize, Peter Vittmar. Peter, welcome to the program.
Hey, it's great to be on. Thank you very much.
I have to say a couple of things about you for those that say I recognize the name. Now, who is this guy? Well, how about the highest scoring American gymnast in Olympic history? finished his successful career in 84 in the Olympic Games as the U.S. men's gymnastic teams as the captain. He led his teammates to America's first team gold medal with their upset victory over the defending world champs, if you recall, the People's Republic of China. He also won the silver medal in the individual all-around competition, the first American to have ever won an Olympic all-around medal, and a gold medal on the pommel horse with, yes, folks, the perfect 10. Peter, has it been tough living up to those credentials and more?
Oh, no, are you kidding? My family regularly lets me know that that perfection part of life is long gone, so that's okay. That's okay.
Tell me about a little bit about your life as a gymnast and what it must be like for you and for the gymnasts that will be performing here this summer and competing. What's the pressure like and what's it like?
You know, it's interesting. I wanted to be an Olympian before I became a gymnast. Something about the Olympic Games just grabbed me as a child as I watched track and field and other sports. And fortunately, I found a sport that worked well for me, and that was gymnastics. And I fell in love with it right from the start. And I started to progress at a fairly rapid rate because I had a coach who was an Olympian himself, and he filled my mind with stories of the Olympic Games and made me hungry to have that experience. And so I found myself in my very first Olympic trials in 1980. And as you recall, that was the year of the boycott, mm-hmm. when American athletes were not allowed to compete in the Olympic Games because of the games were going to be in the Soviet Union, and they had just invaded Afghanistan, and so President Carter thought we shouldn't go. And so I made an Olympic team but didn't get to compete in the Olympic Games. And so, but I knew I would be a better gymnast 4 years later. And so then came the 1984 Olympic Games and, of course, the trials for the Games. You know, it's the trials is quite the pressure cooker because it's you know, all the training that you've been doing over the years all comes down to how will you do on this specific weekend to determine if you're going to be on that Olympic team. So you got to be at your very, very best.
Yeah, a lot of pressure for one particular day, one particular time. That's tough.
Right. And yet that's what the Olympic Games is all about. It's all about rising to the occasion for that one moment in time. And so how do you find athletes that can do that? Well, put them in a trials and make them go through that same experience where you've really got to pull it off at this event. And so we actually have two competitions that will help determine the team. We have our Visa Championships just a few weeks before then, and that's kind of a precursor to the trials. And so the athletes really will have two competitions, but the final trials, the one where we announce the team, will be in San Jose that weekend. It's going to be a tremendous event. You're going to see really the finest gymnast in the world because I predict, and I'm not going to give specifics, but mm-hmm. I predict that a number of the athletes you'll see there will come home with medals from London. And so you're going to see the best of the best.
Outstanding. Now, that was the question I was going to ask. How are we going to stack up? And you feel that we're in pretty good shape going into 2012.
Yeah, and I think the best indicator is the most recent world championships, which were held in October in Tokyo. The U.S. women's team handily won the gold medal. We have a team that's very deep in talent. And in particular, of course, is Jordan Weber, who is the reigning world all-around champion. She just won the recent AT&T American Cup in Madison Square Garden a couple weeks ago. And so she's really considered right now the number one all-around gymnast in the world. But here's the deal. At the Olympic trials, there's a very good probability you're also going to see competing Bridget Sloan, who's a former world all-around champion. Chelsea Memel, who's a former world all-around champion. Sean Johnson, who's an Olympic gold medalist and a former world all-around champion. Possibly Nastia Lukin, who's the reigning Olympic all-around champion. Rebecca Bross, who's the runner-up at two of the last three world championships in the all-around and almost won the title. And so I've named all those athletes, and Jordan Weber is the only one that was in the world championships when we won the gold medal, because we have a number of other terrifically talented young women that are also trying to make the team. So it's going to be a pressure cooker to make the women's team. Only five get to compete in London, and I just named more than that.
Boy,
and
did so you...
It's going to be pressure.
It will be. Now, for those listening, I want to remind you again, Sports Leisure Vacations is taking a group to the trials, and you'll be listening to the program. We'll give you more details on how that, well, you might be part of it. Peter, I understand that you are also now, as you've moved beyond being an Olympic gold medalist, you're now a motivational speaker, and I can understand why, and an author as well of a book called Risk, Originality, and Virtuosity. The keys to a perfect 10. What's that all about, and what's your motivational speeches all about?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I graduated from UCLA about a year before the Olympics. I had a degree in economics. I was planning to go to graduate school, and then I won at the Olympics. And so I had some companies ask me if I could make some appearances at their corporate events. And I said, okay, great. And they said, well, could you say a few things? And so I tried to think of something worth hearing, and as I was listening to other business speakers talk about really important elements of success for those companies they spoke to, they talked about things that really resonated with me as an athlete and as a gymnast. And actually, when I competed, there was a judging category of our sport called risk, originality, and virtuosity. It's really what elevates the good performance to the world-class performance. So in my sport, you're required to take risks. Now, that doesn't mean doing something dangerous. It just means pushing the envelope of excellence. And then originality is self-explanatory. That's the innovation, creativity part of our sport. You're required to innovate in our sport. And the final category is called virtuosity, where you do something that maybe everybody else does, but you do it better. You do it as good as it can be done. And so that's really the keys to a perfect 10 in gymnastics, but I think it's also very helpful principles for success in life and in business. So I talk about that. And rather than, no offense to PowerPoint, but I use a pommel horse. That's my visual aid. And so I perform for the audience on a pommel horse.
Very
and,
cool.
It's been kind of fun for them as they show them maybe an original skill that I developed. Or
you still got
an example
it, huh, Peter?
Of virtuosity. So, yeah, it's not as easy as it used to be, but it's great. And it forces me to work out. And so I'm now 50, and I still do skills on the pommel horse. And it's also allowed me to be an advocate for health and wellness as well. I'm the vice chair of the California Governor's Council on Physical Fitness and Sport, and I think the fact that I work out all the time maybe helps.
Outstanding. Peter Vitmar, Olympic gold medalist, and, of course, chairman of the board of U.S. gymnasts. Don't forget now, all details about the Olympic trials over in San Jose will be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Peter, thanks so much for joining me today, all right?
Hey, thank you very much.
And go USA.
Absolutely.
We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark, is it time?
It is time, absolutely, for the Mystery Spot Contest. Here are the clues. Again, real quickly, coming to see me would be a capital idea. Be sure to allow more than one day to visit me, because otherwise you could miss those beautiful gowns. Buildings. We are buildings preserving nearly 400 years of American history. The numbers to call are 921-1530 or 1-800-834-1530. That's 921-1530 or 1-800-834-1530. You can also register your guests starting right now at TravelGuysRadio.com if you email us your guests. And your correct guess is registered before is registered on the phone line in Sacramento, then you'll be the winner of the $100 Ruth Chris gift card.
Now remember, just one guest when we bring you on the phone line. And we'll be doing that coming up in about 4 minutes right here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. Good luck. Here we are. It's contest time on the Travel and Entertainment Guys. I'm Tom Romano, and it's time to take some calls and see if we can get us qualify ourselves another winner in the Mystery Spot Contest. Mark, hello. You there?
I am here.
Okay, you ready to go after them?
I am ready. The guesses are flooding in online also, so you go first.
Okay, here we go. Let me punch up line two, and let's talk to Norma in Rio Linda. Norma. You got a guess?
Yes. The Sacramento History Museum.
Well, let's see. We got to use the wrong sounder. Thank you for the guess, Norma. That is incorrect. Let's go to line four, and at least we're going to try to go to line four. There, that's a sticky button. I don't know what Ed Crane's been doing with that one, but I wouldn't want to guess. Okay, line four, Mark. We have James on the line. James, you're here with Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano.
Hello. Hi, Williamsburg, Virginia.
Williamsburg, Virginia. Good guess, James, but not right.
Oh, Thomas, I have to tell you something here. We have, looking at our online guesses here, and we have a winner, which is, she's been on here now for about 4.5 minutes. She got in here about 15 seconds after we announced the call. It looks like the correct guess comes from Nikki Johnson up in El Dorado Hills, and Nikki says the Smithsonian Institution, and she is right.
Nikki Johnson, congratulations. I want to say to a couple of callers who I'm looking at the times that they did call in that they were just edged out probably by less than a minute. So.
Probably less than a minute. We also to Maureen, Robert, and Linda, who online have sent in correct guesses. Unfortunately, you were just a little bit behind, just a little short on the trigger figure there. So Nikki Johnson, who is a sports leisure traveler, has won a $100 gift card to Ruth Chris Steakhouse, and we will hopefully, if Nikki is registered, we'll have her qualified for that trip to Hawaii or New York City.
And Mark, why don't we, while we have everybody's attention that is interested in this contest, why don't we go ahead first of all and let them know that we'll be doing another mystery spot next week? Is that correct?
We will. We will be doing this for 6 weeks, and each week we will qualify somebody for the finals. And then, as we did a couple of years ago, we'll bring all those folks into the studio for the show one day and have a mystery spot trivia off, if you will.
Yes.
And of course, folks can kind of play along with us at home, but you don't have to play alone at home. You can play with us. I think we're going to have to get a little tougher clues next week. But
you know, this one was, I think, a little easier than last week.
A little easier, yeah. Well, we'll toughen it up a little bit. But the you do need to go to be eligible for that grand prize. You can play every week, and you can win the weekly prize. But to win the grand prize, you have to be registered at TravelGuysRadio.com, either to like us on Facebook or send us your email. And the advantage of that is that you will get an extra clue each week before the program starts. So you'll have a little bit of a head start on everybody in trying to figure out what the weekly mystery spot might be.
And we want to also let you know that when you do register with your email address, and that's pretty much all you have to give, Mark will not, or no one, we won't sell your information. No one will be phishing you. You won't get a bunch of spammy email that you're going to have to trash. It'll be just for the purpose of Mark being able to kind of count how many fans he's got here on the travel show and how many people are interested in the contests that we're doing.
Absolutely. Thomas, a couple of housekeeping things here that we missed out on earlier in the program. Sports Leisure Vacations, you mentioned when you were talking to our Olympian there, a former Olympian, that we will be going down to San Jose to see the Olympic gymnastic trials at the end of June. And this is something that's probably not quite on people's radar yet, but as soon as they start talking about the Summer Olympic Games in London, I think that the interest level is going to rise dramatically. And we have some great seats in the Shark Tank at the pavilion there in San Jose, and you'll see four final events. You'll stay in an Embassy Suites hotel in Milpitas for 3 nights. You'll have an opportunity to meet one of the athletes or coaches, and some other special little things that Sports Leisure puts together. So if you're interested in that, you can go to sportsleisure.com, or you can give our office a call on Monday morning at 361-8687, and we would be happy to share that information with you. I think it is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see the best athletes in the U.S. before they go to compete and represent our country in London only a couple months later.
I want to point out, for those of you that may not know, you don't literally have to sit in a tank full of sharks. That's just what they call it because the San Jose Sharks hockey team plays there. You know, there might be somebody, Mark, that didn't know what that is.
There might. Let's wrap up the Sports Leisure stuff here and tell that we have a couple of winning listeners. Each week, we pick a couple of members of the Sports Leisure Travel Club, and we announce their names on the air. And if they hear their name and call our office Monday or Tuesday, they win $100 in travel cash. And our two winners this week are Edwina Oliveira and Nancy Lundberg. Edwina Oliveira and Nancy Lundberg, you have won $100 in travel cash if you call the Sports Leisure office. If you or a friend of yours is listening and can alert you, you have until the end of the business day Tuesday, and our secret staff code for today is Cantaloupe. I also should mention that Sports Leisure Vacations is hosting our spring open house at KVIE on Saturday, April the 14th. There is a morning and afternoon session. So if you are a mature traveler or a single female traveler who is likes to see the country or the world, well, you can come out and see us. You can give our office a call on Monday, or you can go to sportsleisure.com to get your space.
Mark, we know you're on the Santa Fe Trail. We talked about it extensively a little earlier in the program. Tell me where you're headed next.
Well, you know, a few months ago when I scheduled a business meeting in Lexington, Kentucky, on the 2nd of April.
Heard that name.
I didn't think that it would be of any great significance to anything or anybody in my life, but as college basketball fans might know, Lexington is the home of the University of Kentucky. And yesterday they became one of the two teams to be in the what promises to be maybe one of the best college basketball championship games in a long time, Kansas, KU, and KU tomorrow night, Kentucky and Kansas. And I will be in Lexington, and if Kentucky happens to win, I suspect that will be a very interesting place to be, and probably if they lose, it'll be a less interesting place.
Yeah, I think you're right there. Yeah,
they take their basketball in Lexington before their cornflakes in the morning. I mean, basketball. And the fact that that they beat Louisville the other night, you have to know that when I go to Lexington, oftentimes because of airfares and convenience, I fly into the Louisville airport and drive over to Lexington, which is about an hour and 15 minutes away. So there's a tremendous rivalry between these two cities, and so that game last night, I'm sure will be it's bragging rights for a long time. But if Kentucky doesn't win the championship, I suspect that they will be a little bit disappointed in how things have turned out. But, yes, an opportunity to be in Lexington, which is a beautiful city. And, hey, Thomas, I just want to take a second here. We got another minute?
Yes, we have just about a minute and 20 seconds.
Okay. I'm always rough on airlines, and boy, I'll tell you, and most of the time they deserve it. But I just want to tell you, I've had a real odyssey over the weekend journeying from Albuquerque up to Reno and back to Albuquerque to attend a memorial service for a friend and stuff. I really want to thank the people at U.S. Airways and United Airlines in Reno who worked really, really hard to get me in and out of their city, and some really, really nice people there who just really broke their back. And it really it emphasizes one thing, and that is when you get into one of those tough situations when you're traveling, you can catch way more bees with honey than you can anything else.
Well, very good, Mark. Thank you for saying so to those fine folks. Well, look, you'll be back here on Easter Sunday. I won't. Look forward to having you back into town, all right?
Thank you, Thomas.
All right, folks. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Travel and Entertainment Guys. We're here every Sunday from 2 to 3 on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFVK. And as we always say, 1 hour a week is all we ask. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday.